Hi, this is Brock, co-host of Now Playing. Thanks so much for downloading our Christmas episode of Now Playing. I just want to take a moment before the show starts to let you know that we're running our very first Now Playing contest. You can enter to win the original soundtrack recording to The Incredible Hulk, the recent movie starring Edward Norton and Liv Tyler. To enter, just send us an email with your name, address, age, and the title of your favorite movie. Our email address is show@nowplayingpodcast.com. On behalf of all of us here at Now Playing, I want to wish you and your families a safe, fun, and happy holiday celebration. Thanks again for downloading us, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to a special Christmas episode of Now Playing. This is Brock, and with me today are all the co-hosts of Now Playing. Please introduce yourselves.
Hi, this is Alicia.
Hi, this is Marjorie.
Hi, this is Ted, and I'm an alcoholic. Actually, this is Arnie. I am co-host of Star Wars Action News, host of the Star Wars Action News Book Club, and co-host of Republic Forces Radio Network. You can find all of this at swactionnews.com.
Braggart.
Wow, you're busy.
Hi, Arnie. Okay, so we're here to discuss our favorite Christmas movies, because every year at Christmas time, the same movies come on television year in, year out, and everyone has their favorites. Well, we decided today, for Now Playing, to share with you our favorite Christmas movies. But to get started, I have looked over the list of movies, and I have seen that some noticeable, shall we say, classics are not on the list. And I thought it might be fun to discuss for a few minutes why none of our favorites include It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Carol, Miracle on 34th Street, etc.
Nope.
Because we're not 80.
Yeah, you ticked off those list of movies. I'm like, hated it, found it boring, hated it.
You liked It's a Wonderful Life. You just didn't like all the people on their cell phones in the theater while we watched it.
Dear I Human Year, I didn't really enjoy that movie at all. I thought it was
stupid. You saw that in theater?
Yeah, they did a classic movies thing here where they brought back Top Gun, Raiders, It's a Wonderful Life, and it was all for like $2.
Oh, that's interesting.
Fantastic.
I think it was one of those things for me. It's like Citizen Kane. Like, I get why it was a good movie when it first came out, but yeah. I don't feel the need to ever see it.
Yeah, we're not 1942. I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't enjoy It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Carol. And I blame Family Ties. I blame The Cosby Show. I blame all these sitcoms in the 70s and 80s that I used to watch that did their own versions of A Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life. And they did the concept to death to the point where I'm so tired of the story. If I see another version of A Christmas Carol, I'm going to shoot myself in the head.
Do you remember the episode of Laverne and Shirley where Laverne wishes she was never born?
No. I haven't seen that one.
Because I remember that very vividly.
And tell us about it, Arnie.
Well, she then has a guardian angel come down who was a special guest star for that episode. And, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. It's just like you said. It's the exact same story. But it was with Laverne and it all took place there. But Lenny and Squiggy and Shirley were all still there. It was funny.
Oh, no. Did they all have horrible, horrible lives without Laverne?
Yes.
And no monograms. So I just want to put that up front that if you're looking for the traditional holiday Christmas movie show, this ain't it. We're going to start with Marjorie. Marjorie, why don't you tell us what your favorite movie is of the Christmas season and why?
My favorite Christmas movie is Elf. Not just because I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, but I think the movie captures the spirit of modern Christmas. It's silly, it's funny, it appeals to all ages. I laughed hysterically when I saw it in theaters. I watch it multiple times actually throughout the year, not just at Christmas. And I think it's a lot of fun.
And who stars in that? Who directs that?
Jon Favreau directs it, Will Ferrell stars in it, along with Zooey Deschanel, James Caan, and Mary Steenburgen.
Okay. Mary Steenburgen was so wasted in this movie.
She was, but it had Ed Asner
wasted
in it.
Wasted as in unused, or wasted as in she really was smoking the dope off the camera?
Unused.
She was enjoying the holiday cheer.
And Oscar winner Mary Steenburgen, an unappreciated wife.
Mary, you're rolling, you're smoking the mistletoe again.
Yeah. We saw Elf in the theater back in, what, 2003?
I liked it a lot. I really had fun with that.
I'll tell you why I like this movie is because Will Ferrell 100% commits to the role. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do Will Ferrell mugs. He doesn't, like, wink to the audience. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally a good performance.
Yeah, you really believe he's naive Buddy the Elf.
What was that line? What did he say when he answered the phone?
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
What did you think of the animated sequence in that?
It was alright. It was reminiscent of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I also saw this in 2003 with Marjorie in theaters. There were about six of us in the theater. I think it was actually after Christmas. There was a mother with her 8-year-old son. There was me with Marjorie, and then there were two individuals scattered around the theater. And Marjorie's laughing drowned out that of the 8-year-old son, and I'm sitting there slumping lower and lower in my seat, more and more embarrassed, as she is laughing louder and louder, and that has tainted my view of this movie. It's actually not a bad movie. I don't think it's as good as Marjorie claims it to be. I am not a fan of Will Ferrell's, though. Just hands down. Beyond Cowbell, there is nothing that man has done that's fun.
Oh, wow.
Elf is the closest second thing, and it's enjoyable, but come on, putting maple syrup on spaghetti. Ha! Knee slapper.
Okay, that's because elves stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup. How about the scene with Miles Finch, that little short man, the dwarf, and he thinks he's another elf, and that scene is great.
You're right. That scene is great.
And how about when he, like, thinks that the gum is free candy? The gum on the streets of New York is free candy. See?
Like I said, this movie has its amusing moments. I just don't rate it nearly as highly as you do. I think it's a great holiday movie to see once a year, far better than Jim Carrey's The Grinch or anything else that's been made as far as true holiday spirit movies in the past decade. But I just think that some of the jokes are a little too over the top and it goes a little too far into Kiddyville for me once in a while.
Oh, it's not childlike at all. I think the jokes are grown up, and that's what the thing I like is, yeah, kids will enjoy it, but they're laughing because it's a funny big man in an elf costume. But as adults, we get it. Like, we get, like, when he's walking through Central Park and it's a rip off that Bigfoot footage, the Patterson Gimlin Bigfoot footage.
I understand that, but I don't think that you're truly looking at Elf and giggling like a mad girl when he's pouring syrup on spaghetti because of the Darwinian irony of the complex carbohydrate makeup of his diet. I think you're giggling because it's hitting the child in you.
No, I'm giggling because it's funny because he's putting syrup on spaghetti.
I guess
and he puts syrup on anything. He has syrup in his shirt sleeve and he pulls out to put in coffee.
In the 90s, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had chocolate chip pizza. I think that joke was funny then because it was original. Now it kind of just feels played.
All right.
Okay, that's an opinion. I have never heard anyone talk about Elf in this manner before, so this is really interesting to me.
This is a very deep existential look into Elf.
Yeah, and actually,
I like it.
Yeah, actually, next time I see it, I think I may have to see it a different way.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we actually seen the movie.
We should watch it again.
Yeah, actually, that's a good. Yeah, I think we enjoyed it enough to watch it again.
So did I. I actually think that the love story at the center is very sweet. I think that Zooey Deschanel, who I don't know from anything, does a very wonderful job in this. I think that James Caan is great in this. I just think every so often it veered off the course. So I don't love it, but I do really like it. And it's nowhere near as bad as when Marjorie wants to sit through many of the other Will Ferrell movies, such as Blades of Glory.
Right. I think this one also is the first one that I remember that a little person beat the crap out of a bigger person, as Marjorie mentioned earlier, and that joke has been played a lot since in other movies. And so I always think of Elf first, and that to me is a sign of this movie hit a chord to the point where people rip it off.
What other movies have midgets beating up big people?
Well, if I can segue into my holiday movie, which also came out in 2003 and also has a midget beating up a large person or a little person building up a large person, my movie is Bad Santa, with one of the stars being Tony Cox, who is a little person. He played an Ewok in Return of the Jedi. He was the little man doing the safety dance in the video in the 80s.
He was also in Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, he's funny and everything. I think I know him best from Me, Myself, and Irene, and since then he's gone on to do just a whole lot of other stuff, but he is often the little person beating up the big people, including in Bad Santa. He's getting the upper hand on Billy Bob several times.
So why don't you tell us who's in the movie and what year it came out, who directed it, for those of us who haven't seen the movie?
Well, as I said, it came out in 2003. It is directed by Terry Zwigoff, who has directed such things as Crumb and Ghost World and Art School Confidential. So basically nothing anyone has seen. And it stars Billy Bob Thornton and Tony Cox.
And it was also John Ritter's last movie.
John Ritter's last movie has Bernie Mac, and Brett Kelly is the little kid in it, and Lauren Graham from some WB show. Is she Gilmore Girls?
Yes. Gilmore
Girls.
Yes,
Lorelai Gilmore.
And Ajay Naidu.
Okay. Anyone else left in the cast there, Arnie? Who is the best boy?
Well, actually, I'm a big fan of Jean Nadieu, having seen him in an episode of Monk.
This episode of Now Playing brought to you by IMDb, your internet movie database.
Actually, he's not who I thought he was. I thought he was the Indian guy from the Knights of Prosperity, but that's not him.
No, I saw him in LAX, though.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, anyway. So,
I was starstruck.
For those of us who haven't seen Bad Santa, which
would be both of us.
Both of us. Why don't you explain basically the plot of Bad Santa, please?
Billy Bob Thornton plays Willie, who is a master safecracker. But every year, he and Tony Cox, who is his partner in crime, literally, dress up as Santa Claus and an elf. And to quote the character from the movie, he is an eating, drinking, farting, fucking Santa Claus.
Okay.
All right, then. So it's a family picture.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. He has anal sex with fat women in the dressing rooms and has a mangy beard full of vomit and food and proceeds to be perhaps the worst Santa ever, barely keeping his job just by threatening various lawsuits against little people.
Ah.
Or by little people against the established company. John Ritter plays the uptight manager of the store, which has hired Billy Bob and Tony Cox, and the entire plot is on Christmas Eve to rob the store. However, as with any holiday movie, there must be that moment of conscience, and one of the kids who comes to visit Santa, who the child has no name in the movie, he's just known as
the kid,
is kind of a chubby little kid, a little socially retarded, and he ends up taking Billy Bob back home to make him a sandwich, and...
No, the movie's all about sandwiches.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. Every time they walk into the kid's house, the grandmother, who's played by Cloris Leachman, or the kids say, you want me to make some sandwiches?
So let me ask you a question. This movie sounds like it might have, I don't know, some profanity here and there.
My favorite line of the movie is when Lauren Graham is riding Billy Bob in a car and chanting,
fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa.
Oh, Lauren.
Okay, so the question is this a movie that we should see on, you know, local stations, or should we actually rent it to see the full effect of Bad Santa?
I have never seen Bad Santa. I have only seen Badder Santa, which is the unrated 99-minute cut of the movie, which was made without the director's input. The director has a director's cut, which is only 88 minutes and nowhere near as profane. I say go all out, go balls to the wall, see Badder Santa. It's available on Blu-ray.
Okay, so the idea is that this movie is really funny because Santa Claus shouldn't be cursing and burping and farting and fucking, basically.
Not exactly. It's funny because it's not supposed to be the Santa Claus. You know, it's not like Santa versus the Martians. This is a bank thief as the local drunkard Santa Claus. And it's not amusing just because it's Santa Claus like that. It's amusing because it's Billy Bob at his raunchiest. Billy Bob plays raunchy very well.
Yeah.
I like to think that's how he is in real life. And he's going around just saying the most outrageous freaking things.
Because of his penchant for unnatural sex with women, one of the recurring lines, and this is really foul, women keep recognizing him and go, Billy Ray, is that you? I didn't shit right for a week.
All right.
Lovely.
So we should definitely pop this in when we're home with the family this year.
Yeah, it sounds heartwarming.
Yes.
All right.
I'll get my 7-year-old nephew.
It actually is heartwarming because at the end, it has a twist ending, and Billy Bob has kind of a crisis of conscience because of his relationship with the kid, and there's these various moments as curmudgeon, drunkard Billy Bob. And, I mean, he's a drunkard on Leaving Las Vegas levels.
But they're not, like, syrupy sweet, like, redeems the movie. He's still nasty, foul person, and they're not like, oh, and like you see this complete change of character. It's still a foul, filthy movie, and it's wonderful.
Okay.
And honestly, the cast across the board is great.
Yeah.
And there's so many plot twists that you don't see coming. You don't really expect that in a Christmas movie, but the roles played by Bernie Mac, who is the store security guard, and John Ritter, who knows Billy Bob back from the Sling Blade days.
Actually, before that, in Hearts of Fire, that's where they met.
Ah, good point. I forgot that show.
Mm-hmm.
But in his last role as the very uppity store manager, who's very concerned about all the fornication, as he puts it, going on in the big and tall dressing rooms.
Ah, interesting.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I think this ties in perfectly to Alicia's movie.
Yes, Speaking of,
there's a lot of fornication in big and tall dressing rooms.
Speaking of that, yes, I'll let Alicia introduce her own movie.
So my movie, I have to say, I debated back and forth, but I ended up going back to, you know, what I felt in my heart. And so that movie is A Christmas Story with Peter Billingsley, Darren McGavin, Melinda Dillon, and of course, our friend Scott Schwartz.
Which is how it ties into Bad Santa.
Tying into Bad Santa. Speaking of fornication. Written by Gene Shepard, directed by Bob Clark. Gene Shepard also did the wonderful voiceovers throughout the entire movie.
For those of us who have not seen the movie, which is not me, I've seen the movie, why don't you explain quickly what the movie's about?
Basically, it is told from the perspective of a little boy named Ralphie growing up in the late 40s, early 50s?
No, 30s, I think. I'll look it up.
Anyway, it's the story of this Christmas, this particular Christmas. And of course, the big gift that he wants the entire time is the Red Ryder BB gun, which he is obsessing over. And of course, is told every time that he requests the Red Ryder BB gun, you'll shoot your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out! All right, so this is one of those movies that has just gotten bigger and bigger every year to the point where TNT, I think, runs it 24 hours a day, literally, from Christmas Eve through Christmas evening.
I agree, which is part of the reason why I hesitated, even though it was my initial pick. I do feel like it is overplayed lately, the last 5 or so years.
They have Christmas ornaments of the leg lamp.
Well, you can buy the leg lamp.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it has become sort of its own big entity. I think I preferred it when it was this funny, cute little movie that I felt like only my family knew about.
I had never seen this movie all the way through until I met you. And I had seen it. I've seen all the movie. I had never saw it in one sitting because it was on cable like to death. This and Flash Gordon were the only things running on cable when cable first started, it seemed. And it was constantly running and running. And so I never understood what the appeal was to this movie. And I've asked you for years, what is the appeal of this movie? Can you tell me?
It's hard to explain. I think that it's a combination of things. I think it's a view into the way 8-9-year-old's brain works. Obviously, like I said, it's a movie from his perspective, but he often goes off into his fantasies. I think it's also just that anticipation, that feeling that I believe a lot of us had for the weeks leading up to Christmas, that one gift that you just really, really hoped you were going to get and you prayed it was going to be under the Christmas tree, but you didn't really know, of course. And I think it also embraces just a lot of other stories. We, of course, have the ongoing rivalry with Scott Farkas, the local bully. You have
I love
his
the
friend.
Music underneath Farkas when he comes on the screen.
I know. He had yellow eyes. I think that also you, of course, have the, you know, the mean teachers. You have the memorable encounter with Santa Claus at their local department store. You have just, and also it's just a story of the family, which is what's so funny. Darren McGavin is wonderful as the dad. Melinda Dillon is great as the mom. Of course, his little brother, Randy.
Who can't move in that snowsuit.
Who can't move in the snowsuit and
so
who
funny.
Tends to hide in cupboards, kitchen.
Arnie, did you ever dare anybody to stick their tongue against the pole because of this movie?
I didn't, but
when I was 5 years old in kindergarten, this boy that I went to kindergarten with lived around the block, Danny Weiss, actually licked the fence post out behind Dubois Elementary, and he actually lost part of his tongue because he ripped it off and got part of it off and left part of the tongue on the pole.
Oh, no.
And he always talked kind of funny.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sorry we missed the opportunity here. I was hoping that Arnie would say, no, I didn't. I double dog dared you.
Oh.
But that's all right. I thought he might
get it. You got a better story instead.
A much better story. So have you guys seen A Christmas Story? What do you guys think of it?
I saw this movie back in theaters when it came out.
Wow.
And here's something to tell you why this movie is popular. It is definitely a Generation X Christmas movie. Because I went to see it with our whole family, and every single person hated it to death except me. And you said that this movie has become its own thing. I hadn't even heard of this movie again between when it came out and 1992 when I went to college, when all of a sudden I realized that a lot of people like me in my age range knew this movie, loved this movie, and the elders didn't like it.
Interesting.
I think he's out.
I'm surprised because it's old-timey.
But they didn't like the humor because perhaps, you know, even though it's old-timey, it's a reflection on 80s youth. Obsessed with toys, obsessed with Santa, obsessed with getting. if this was actually the 40s, the people who I saw it with all grew up in the Great Depression. They were obsessed with where their next can of soup was coming from, not their next BB gun. So perhaps it's not a realistic portrayal of the average childhood in the 40s. But what's really funny is that I met some people in college who actually thought it was an old movie. They didn't realize it was just from the 80s. They thought it was really old.
I thought it was an old movie. And I have this dislike for anything old-timey. So I really had avoided the movie until like 2005.
Oh, that's funny.
And did you enjoy it when you watched it?
It was all right. I mean, I suffer through it for Arnie.
I agree. I think Brock and I have the same thing going on. I think it's one of those things where if you first saw it and if you first got caught up by it when you were younger, it's something that you really love or really appreciate. Whereas if you've just come into it in the last few years, it's not exactly the same movie.
And I acknowledge that it's really funny. I acknowledge why it's funny, but I just don't want to watch it every single year.
Thank you. That's how I feel. Yeah.
I love that you love this movie, and I love that your family can sit there and watch it every single year, but maybe I'll go downstairs and play ping pong.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it this year, I promise.
But see, I also agree with Alicia, because I think when Arnie liked it, it was this cool like little secret, and now it's like everywhere. And
yeah, I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
I maybe turn it on. The great thing is, it's an anthology virtually. It's a series of independent stories that run with an overriding theme of the BB gun. And so you don't have to watch it in one sitting. If you've seen it, you can turn it on for 15 minutes, see the breaking of the lamp, or see the Farkas fight, or see the visit to Santa Claus with all the Wizard of Oz characters.
Oh,
and that's all you need to see.
Oh. we sort of have a, you know, that's our little Christmas thing.
Oh, fudge.
Absolutely. I think that's one of those things where if you do know the movie.
I guess we're going to end up the Christmas story by saying, just remember to drink your Ovaltine.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Have you guys ever had Ovaltine?
I have. I bought it after watching that movie. And
nasty, ain't it?
It's not the best.
I've never had it. My father actually puts a scoop of it in his coffee every morning.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Oh.
Why don't they call it Roundteen?
What?
It's a Seinfeld.
He grew up in the 40s, so I don't understand it.
Seinfeld reference. Okay. Well, I guess it comes time to mention my movie, which is one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. It's a little movie that maybe you've all seen before. It's called Die Hard, starring Bruce Willis, Bonnie Bedelia, Alan Rickman, Reginald Val Johnson, and William Atherton, directed by John McTiernan. Now, some of you may be wondering why I picked this movie as a Christmas movie.
It's not a
Christmas movie. Actually, before we even get to that,
it's not really a Christmas movie.
Well, I beg to differ, because...
Here, no, I got one for you. Saying that Die Hard is a Christmas movie is like saying Saving Private Ryan is a travel movie that just happens to take place during World War II.
Exactly. She got you on that one. It is not a Christmas movie. I call shenanigans.
Okay, ho, ho, ho. Now I have a machine gun. Okay, this is a movie that takes place on Christmas Eve. It's about a man...
But that does not make it a Christmas movie.
No, it does not make it a Christmas movie.
It's about the Christmas spirit, about families coming together. The man travels across the country.
No, it's not.
He travels across the country.
To shoot people.
Yeah.
To travel across the country because him and his wife are having a problem because she got a job he didn't support. So he flies across the country to see her and her family at Christmas time and goes to the holiday Christmas party. And terrorists take over the building to steal the bearer bonds in the safe.
Might as well call this a terrorism movie or a gun control movie.
Well, it's none of those.
But wasn't this back in the 80s when we were afraid of the Germans?
Or was it the Russians?
I thought the Russians
were somebody foreign.
Threat.
We were afraid of people.
But
Alan Rickman just used a general European accent.
Yeah,
it was a Euro trash accent.
The Euro trash accent with the Euro trash hair. And they had Chris music in it, the rap music, if you remember that, in the limousine.
By Run DMC. It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Yeah.
There you go. Yes, okay. So I completely admit, you know, there's not a lot of Christmas, you know, this and that, but there's, you know, it's Christmas. It's a time of miracles. They have a fantastic Ode to Joy in there. For me, Christmas movies are very hard to sit through, and I do enjoy the fact that people have these traditions every single year of watching holiday movies. And for me, I find them very unenjoyable. I love Christmas. I really do. But the fact that, as I said before in the beginning of the show, I just don't enjoy watching these Christmas movies over and over again. So a movie that takes place during Christmas, to me, qualifies. I didn't pick Lethal Weapon.
See, I would argue that Lethal Weapon's actually the better Christmas movie.
And I would argue differently, because I think Die Hard has a little bit more of that Christmas spirit going on, especially with the snow in the end and the...
I disagree, because Christmas time is a huge time for suicides, which is something represented in the Lethal Weapon movies.
In the beginning of the movie, yes.
And the depression of losing a loved one covered in Lethal Weapon.
Oh, that is true. Those are all good points.
Very, very good points.
But neither one of them are Christmas movies.
Okay. Nope. Well, I have a backup just in case. And this is kind of like an honorable mention, a movie that both of us really much enjoy, and you two maybe not like it. But the backup we were going to say, I was going to say, is called Love Actually, that came out in 2003 as well.
It's, I love
that
movie.
It stars Hugh Grant, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Colin Firth, Keira Knightley, Liam Neeson, and every other British actor that in Face of Creation, and Laura Linney. And it's directed.
Isn't Liam Neeson actually Scottish?
Yes, he is Scottish. I stand corrected. Every UK actor in this existence, isn't he Scottish?
I think he's Irish.
And I think maybe Irish.
He's one of those countries that's technically British, but not English.
He has that Euro trash accent that Alan Rickman was sporting in Die Hard. And it's written and directed by Richard Curtis. And this movie is basically about a whole bunch of different people around Christmas time and their interactions with each other, all trying to basically find love.
Different kinds of love.
And different kinds of love. The married couple that, you know, the husband is tempted by a woman at the office, a younger model. And then you have the two people just finding love for the first time. You have the unrequited love of a friend, his best friend married the girl of his dreams. And so he secretly loves her. There's the woman who puts her brother above herself and can't find love because she has to take care of her brother. And then we have
that's
the
such a good movie.
Oh, and then the Hugh Grant one was great. He's the Prime Minister of England and he wants to date a subordinate. Mm-hmm. And so all these different stories of love, it takes place around Christmas time, and it is just
that's more of a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree. It's more heartbreaking. It's really funny. It just, when you think about all the different scenes in the movie, you just sometimes want to cry. Is it a kind of movie, though, at Christmas time that makes you feel good to watch it every single year? I don't know.
I like to reserve my Christmas tears for family gatherings.
Have you guys seen that was a good one. Have you guys seen Love Actually?
Never.
No.
Oh my God, you have to see it. Seriously. It's not just like a romantic movie. It's very, very well done.
It's very well acted. Incredibly yes. well acted. There's a scene with Emma Thompson, whose husband is Alan Rickman, and he's the husband who's debating whether to stray from his wife, and there's this heartbreaking scene where she figures it out. And it's just unbelievably well acted.
Anyway, it's very well done. And every time you think that something is going to go in its predictable, sort of boring direction, it kind of surprises you.
Yes.
Highly recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it.
It's a very well made movie. And this guy did Notting Hill, which some people love, some people hate.
I like Notting Hill.
Yeah, I like it too. And I think Notting Hill is one of the better romantic movies mm-hmm. made in the past 10 years. It's just, they don't make movies like that every year. And I think this one is worth watching.
We'll watch Bad Santa. And yes. You guys watch Love Actually.
And then we'll compare notes on next year's episode of The Christmas Now Playing.
Any honorable mentions you just want to slip in under the wire?
Well, that was one of them, was Love Actually. I've always liked Scrooged, but I don't really like A Christmas Carol anymore, so I really can't recommend that.
I like the theory of Scrooged, but actually watching it's a little painful. It's got like some good jokes, but really it's just kind of boring.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
It has some funny moments. Mm. Bill Murray's perfect for it.
I do like A Muppet Christmas Carol. It's pretty cute.
I like it because Beaker gives Scrooge the finger. Watch it as they're pushing Beaker out the door. Beaker flips Scrooge off.
I don't want to get into this too much, but I like the Muppets a lot. And this is the first big major movie they made after Jim Henson passed away. And they really missed the characterizations of the Muppets. The biggest problem with the Muppets nowadays, in my opinion, is that people are doing imitations of characters and the funny voices, but don't understand the characters they're performing. And I think this movie is a great example of it, that they missed the boat on these characters and are hoping that our nostalgia for some of these characters would fill the voids. And how many other Christmas Muppet shows have there been? There's been Christmas specials, there's been Christmas movies, and they know how to do a Christmas movie. So no, I can't recommend the Muppet Christmas Carol.
I'm going to throw a couple honorable mentions. Honestly, Lethal Weapon gets one for me. Also, Christmas Vacation. That one I can watch year after year. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I think that we relate to that couple a little bit and think our neighbors are trying to turn on the lights and drown us out.
That was a horrible moment in our life. We realized that we are like those two people.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Season 2, be merry.
I really think it's really great you guys mentioned those two characters, because to me, when I watched that movie, those are the most underappreciated. Like, everyone talks about this movie, how funny it is, but no one really talks about those two. And I'm glad you said that, because if you didn't say it, I was going to, because those two, to me, they're just so put upon by these idiots next door. It makes me, yep. It makes me laugh so much.
Although I do just love the pure humor of the squirrel in the tree. Having had a few varmints in our own house now, yeah.
And I like Bridget Jones.
We should have an entire show about British movies.
Yeah.
But that's true. Bridget Jones does take place around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
All right. So we have given a lot of ideas and a lot of movies that we care about at Christmas time. And we hope that if you haven't seen some of these, you'll check them out. But we should do a final round table, real quick recap of recommend or not recommend for the four movies today. So the first movie is Elf. Obviously, Margie recommends it. Arnie, do you recommend it?
Yes.
Oh, score one for me.
Alicia, do you recommend Elf?
Yes, I absolutely do.
And I absolutely recommend Elf as well. The second movie was Arnie's pick of Bad Santa, or Batter Santa. And you two recommend it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
But not for the faint of heart or easily offended.
And we'll get back to you on that one. Alicia's Christmas Story. You recommend it,
obviously. Of course I recommend it.
Arnie?
If you've never seen it, I think it's a cultural obligation. I mean, you're un-American if you haven't seen it, but then you don't have to like it.
And I would say wait 20 years or give it a good 5 to 10 until the hype dies down and 90-year-old grandmas aren't quoting the movie.
Yeah, because that hype really died down for It's a Wonderful Life. They don't play that every year.
I think that they're obligated. There's some kind of weird law. They have to play those old black and white Christmas movies because the world will end if we don't.
Can I just say a piece of trivia about It's a Wonderful Life? Frank Capra did not picture that as a Christmas movie, and it was actually released in the summer.
Really?
I was not aware of that.
That's interesting.
I'm fungicational.
And my pick was Die Hard. Do you recommend it, Alicia?
I recommend it as a movie, not as a Christmas movie.
Marjorie, Arnie?
Not a Christmas movie, but it's an all right movie.
I highly recommend this movie, period.
Yes, period. Halloween, watch it and still recommend it. It's damn good.
And, now I have a machine gun too. That is a great line. And honestly, yeah, there is some good Christmas songs in it. Most of the score is Christmas. They do that da 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 with the vault breaking. Yeah, I think Brock gets it just under the wire due to the score.
Why, thank you, sir. That would have been helpful earlier in the podcast, but thank you now for saying it. And of course, we both recommend as the other honorable mentions, especially Love Actually.
Highly, highly, highly recommend Love Actually.
And The Muppet Christmas Carol I cannot recommend, but if you all recommend it, you're more than welcome to do so.
It won't kill you.
Yeah, it won't kill you. It certainly won't kill you.
Beaker flips somebody off. That's my moment of zen.
We thank you all for joining us for Now Playing. This has been Now Playing's Christmas Spectacular.
I think we should do it for the 4th of July. We should all come up with 4th of July movies.
There's only one. Independence Day.
Independence. What about that Miss Saigon or something? Born on the 4th of July?
I've never seen that.
Yeah, right. Well, George M., the musical.
Oh, Lord.
I know, that's kind of a weird obscure.
That's a whole different kind of show.
Yankee Doodle Jazz. Yankee Doodle Andy is what it's called.
Did you say Yankee Doodle Jazz Hands?
I did. I sure to hell didn't, but it's funny. We should call it that.
Because it sure sounded like you're going down that road.
Jazz hands.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thanks for you guys for joining us today at Now Playing. Thanks for being on here with us.
Thank you for being on here with us.
Good point. And and if you all enjoyed our episode and want to drop us an email or let us know what your favorite Christmas movies are.
Or holiday movies.
Yes, thank you for that correction. You can go to our forums, which you can be located.
8 Crazy Nights.
Yes, exactly. Right. I was going to mention that, but I haven't
seen it.
That
one wasn't very good.
Well, no.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so.
It's not good.
You can go to our homepage at www.nowplayingpodcast.com. There's a link there to our forums. Or you can drop us an email at show@nowplayingpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Now Playing is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Hello and welcome to Now Playing. This is Brock.
Actually,
and
with you have to stop for a second.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Wow, Skype, he had his radio voice.
Skype is beeping.
Oh.
No.
Hold on. Just when Brock started, Skype started beeping. Let me hide myself. People try to message me when I'm online. Brock, we're ready.
Me, 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 me.
Oh, Lord.
Me, 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 me. Okay. Hello, and welcome to a special...
Skype's beeping again. Hold on.
For the love of Pete, stop
that was
it.
Funny. Even if it didn't happen, that was very good timing.
Actually, it is beeping again, but I waited for that moment to tell you.
Where are you going? Why are you leaving?
All right, Brock, we're ready.
He thought he heard the doorbell.
We can start.
I don't know.
Now
he's messing with the windows. What are you, honey? We can't.
Did he just fall?
No, he dropped the entire blind. Let's just leave it, okay?
Okay.
Arnie says he's ready. Let's do it.
Let me get this exact quote.
Do you want me to do the summary for you? No, because obviously you're having problems.
I love this movie so much, I'm going to look up the summary now.
Right. Kelly Ripa and her husband apparently are breaking up.
No.
And it's a big thing because they're like the perfect family and everything.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like the perfect little, she's like the perfect supermom kind of thing.
Yeah. But
the commercials. It's just every time I see those Electrolux commercials, I want to puke because she talks all the time about how the fact that she doesn't cook. They have a live-in chef.
I know.
And she's selling
cookware. It should be like her live-in chef using the Electrolux.
Yeah, that actually bothers me too, honestly.
Pick is Elf.
Wait, I still had more to fucking say about
more.
Elf.
I thought he just said, I have no more to say.
No, I said I have more to say.
So what do you want me to do? Prompt him? Tell me.
I want you to shut up so I can talk, and then you're not stepping on my lines.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you were talking about the animated sequence. So we need
my Skype is beeping. Hold on a second. Sorry, go ahead.
This is never going to get finished.
No, I just had to do it.
It was like a five-hour recording. Come on.
You might be pissed at this point, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I promise I won't make any more jokes.
Yeah.
And that allows you to be like, to go back to the Christmas Carol, you're like the Bob Marley that says, you don't want these other ghosts to come.
Bob Marley?
Not Bob Marley. Who's the Marley?
Bob Marley. Yeah.
You don't want the other ghosts to be coming, Mon.
Jacob Marley.
Yeah. Jacob Marley.
Bob Marley. I'm like, Bob Marley's in the Christmas Carol?
Those are the ghost man. You got to be wary of the chains.
Oh my God.
I was doing the 40-year-old virgin where you have to be David Caruso in Jade, where whatever they say, you just respond with a question.
Oh.
I didn't get the reference. Okay. Yeah.
Didn't you get the reference? See?
I should be more like, didn't you get the reference? Every line reading.
Actually, it would be, didn't you
quit shouting?
Get the reference?
Are you shouting? I can't even hear. Are you really? Is it?
No, I'm not shouting.
Yeah, no, he is like shouting in the room, and it's because he has this disease where when he's on a cell phone or on the microphone, he has to shout. And
I project. I don't shout.
You shout.
I think that disease is catching.